Here we are again in Kiernan's Corner. Late news and a bit of comment coming right up.
Time now to stroll down to Kiernan's Corner for a chat with Walter Kiernan. But before the sage of Kiernan's Corner begins, here's an announcement. War-ravaged countries overseas are still receiving a part of America's food supply. That's why housewives are urged to can and preserve fresh fruits and vegetables from Victory Gardens and local markets. Right now, here's Kiernan of Kiernan's Corner.
Friday, July 26, here is a brief run-through of the news. At Nuremberg, the eight-month-old trial of Nazi official neared an end today. Supreme Court Justice Jackson, the American prosecutor, called for conviction of all the defendants on the grounds that they had conspired to wage aggressive war against the world from the time the Nazis came into power. And after Jackson got through, the British prosecutor, Sir Hartley Shawcross, took up the summation, and he bitterly condemned the defendants as common murderers. In Washington, the Senate today passed and sent to the White House a bill assuring the transfer of atomic energy research and production to a five-man control commission, all civilians. The upper chamber put the final stamp of legislative approval by voice vote on the compromise Senate-House conference report, which was adopted earlier in the afternoon by the House. Representative Thomason of Texas, incidentally, revealed today that General Eisenhower, the Army Chief of Staff, had given his unqualified endorsement to the all-civilian Atomic Control Board. Eisenhower was quoted as saying, "The Army does not want a man on the control commission." Jerusalem, Arab laborers, and British troops recovered four more bodies today from the ruined part of the King David Hotel. The casualties from Monday's bombing stand now at 70 dead, 47 injured, 40 still missing. In London, British and American officials were reported to have reached agreement on a compromise plan for settlement of the Palestine problem, but the initial indications were that neither Arabs nor Jews were going to be satisfied with it. That plan calls for semi-autonomous Jewish and Arab provinces in Palestine under a British-dominated central administration. And in London, it was rejected flatly by the Arab office there, and reports from Jerusalem said that the plan had been given a cool reception by Jewish groups in Jerusalem. In Washington, Senator Meade said today, after a talk with President Truman, that he had received the impression from Mr. Truman that the American request for opening up Palestine to Jewish refugees would be granted through agreement with the British government. In Frankfurt, six men were slightly wounded today in another riot at a Jewish displaced persons camp just south of Munich. The rioting was a continuation of yesterday's outbreak at the camp, in which one man was killed and six other persons were wounded. The latest outbreak was touched off when a number of men at the camp surrounded U.S. Army trucks, slapped and spat on the MPs, and shouted "American Gestapo" and other uncomplimentary phrases. And the MPs dispersed the rioters with fixed bayonets. Montreal, Louis Berkowitz of Montreal walked into the Montreal Herald newspaper office today and surrendered as the killer of Harry Davis, who was shot to death in his bookmaking office yesterday. Berkowitz did a strange thing by surrendering to a newspaper. He's a brother of Morris Berkowitz, who committed suicide in New York back in July 5th, after he was caught in a getaway following a holdup in a liquor store in which he wounded the owner and his clerk. In Washington, the Senate today accepted the House version of legislation to streamline Congress, sent the bill to the White House for very certain presidential approval. Seems to be no doubt that it will be approved. In baseball today, in the American League, it's Detroit 4, Philadelphia 3 at the end of eight innings. Washington and Cleveland, New York and Chicago, Boston and St. Louis all play tonight. In the National League, New York 3, Cincinnati 2. Pittsburgh and Brooklyn, Chicago and Philadelphia play tonight, and St. Louis and Boston are idle. In Pittsburgh, the Pennsylvania State Boxing Commission today plastered fines, the size of the purses, on heavyweights Lee Murray of Baltimore and Perk Daniels of Chicago for very unsatisfactory performances in a scheduled 10-round bout in Pittsburgh last night. Unsatisfactory performances. Hiya, Mike. Well, right at this time, I should like to have you hear a special message.
In a typical American home a few days ago, John the son was discussing his future with his family. After a lot of thought, John had decided to join the new peacetime American Army. Here are some of the reasons he gave. He told them he'd enlisted because he felt he owed it to himself to help guard the peace for which so many young Americans have died to win. John was practical, too. He pointed out that the new Army is a carefully chosen group of skilled technicians. He'd be able to learn one or more technical skills in fields like radar, aviation, photography, or chemical warfare. But no matter what reasons or combination of reasons our John gave, it is true that many of America's finest young men are entering the new U.S. Army. They realize that it offers them a wonderful opportunity for an excellent career. Walter Kiernan continues now his chat about today's news from Kiernan's Corner.
Well, Representative Andrew May today is reported to be not quite ill enough for the hospital, not quite well enough for the Meade Committee. His doctor says he should stay in bed 10 days. That makes now two witnesses who have gone to bed and several who wish they had stood in bed. The committee today admitted into evidence an investigator's report that Murray Garson was, quote, very friendly with Al Capone, the Chicago mobster. Seems to have been the friendly type, but I don't know what that would have to do with the price of munitions, because Mr. Capone was more a liquid dynamite boy than anything else. But one thing that strikes us in this investigation by the Meade Committee is where were all our highly publicized investigators when war contracts were being handed out? If a man must or should have shown a certificate of good character in order to get a war contract, how is it that the investigation comes now after the war and by a congressional committee? Seems as though that should have been one for the professional bloodhounds before the contracts were issued. I suppose you've read or heard Mr. Truman's message on why he signed the OPA bill. He appears to have signed it in the spirit of the reluctant bridegroom who said, quote, I'm not going to like her, but I'm sure going to marry her. There's little about the OPA bill that Mr. Truman likes, and it might be said that there is little about it that anybody will like. Rent control, yes, tenants will like that because there aren't many places to move to these days. And if your rent is jumped, you don't have a choice between that house and some other house. It's pay the rent or move outdoors. But the states could handle that problem themselves. New York did it. But people who expect that somehow the government will slap a sirloin on the table tomorrow at a price that all can pay are going to be disappointed. You do not get steak by act of Congress or good intention of the man in the White House. And the government goes back in the meat market right behind the same bare bones it was standing behind when OPA died originally. The same situation is there. The same problem is there. Price control versus the black market. We had 4 years of controlled prices and empty cases, and we have just had a little less than 4 weeks of uncontrolled prices and filled cases, and that's the situation the government has stepped into. The cases are filled now. Can they be kept filled if prices are driven down again by government edict, not by competition, but by government order, or do we go back to the control price and the empty case? All I know is that my butcher is wearing a furrowed brow. He was one of those fellows who never was in the black market, and it's been very tough on honest men. They got a little worn saying, nothing came in today, maybe tomorrow. And saying that while some lug was carving a steer in his garage down the street and peddling it by the light of the moon. But there's Bill Green doesn't like the new law, and neither does Bob Taft, and there is Alpha to Omega on the new law. The AFL chief says it may lead to labor unrest and a new wave of strikes. And Senator Taft says it's a far more inflationary bill than the first substitute which was offered to the president, and that furthermore it provides for a permanent increase in the cost of living. OPA, meanwhile, got right back into business, and possibly to the surprise of the customers who have been shouting for lower prices, immediately jammed 150 orders through the wicket, most of them raising prices. Raising prices on shoes, on coal, on some kinds of work gloves, on rubber heels and on attaching same, on oil burners and on a dozen other things. Price controls were knocked off piano stools. Goodness knows what you'll have to pay for your next piano stool. And also on umbrella frames. It's kind of unfortunate that during the big propaganda drive for OPA, no pressure group thought of telling its constituents that control prices do not necessarily mean the same thing as low prices. For instance, OPA has had the order ready, increasing the price of coal since John Lewis got his new contract. So with or without OPA, coal was going to go up just as every product has gone up, in which there has been an industry wage increase. Now, the atom bomb, the reports are still coming in. There's still a lot of radioactivity in the neighborhood, so the damage is still being surveyed from a respectable distance. But what is interesting is that observers flying over the spot say that they can't see a trace of wreckage of either the Arkansas or the Saratoga in the clear depths of the lagoon. And you know, if you fly high, you can see deep where the water is clear as it is there. And they can't see anything where those two big ships were. Apparently they disintegrated. Two signs of the Times items. In London, it is announced that a jet-propelled plane has climbed 8 8/10 miles into the sky. And in Chicago, a rocket expert says that within the next 2 years, rockets from Earth will reach the moon. If there's anybody on there and they have any sense, they'll pretend they're not home. And in Paris, the name of Professor Picard comes into the news again. You may recall him. He was one of the first men to investigate the stratosphere. He went aloft in some kind of a balloon and returned to Earth to report that it was possible to live up there in the stratosphere if you had enough oxygen and heated clothes and the like. So the military pounced on it, and you had warplanes flying the stratosphere regularly in the recent unpleasantness. Now Picard announces he's going to try to go down 4 miles. He's been up, now he's going to go down. He's going to try to go down 4 miles underwater. I don't know, some kind of a special bathtub of his contrivance. He is going down for reasons of pure science, but I will bet you that he will no more than stick his head out of the porthole and report, "I did it," when he returns. Then the navies of the world will be planning how they can put a fleet of submarines 8 miles under the water to get under some continent and tip it over. In London today, a Mr. George B. Shaw was 90. Next year, he'll be 91. He wanted no comments on his birthday, and I shall have none. Another weekend coming up. Rest, relax, have fun, and save an hour out for church, temple, synagogue, whatever you call your house of worship. Kind of rounds out a weekend when you include a small thought for tomorrow along with your enjoyment of today. As my dear old grandmother would say, there's always something to be thankful for, even if it's just the weather, which at the moment looks very pleasant. But those would be her words, and I'd appreciate your listening to a few more words of interest to you.
Put yourself in this picture. You're in Paris at the 21 Nation Peace Conference, which starts next Monday, hearing firsthand the problems representatives from these allied countries are facing in drafting world peace treaties. It will be an exciting, memorable experience, one that the American Broadcasting Company will recreate for its listeners by bringing you a host of special correspondents and commentators with colorful on-the-scene reports direct from this peace parley. On hand to give you their views on this important conference are Drew Pearson, expert news analyst, ABC's Paris correspondent Jack Cooley, writer Bella Spiewak, and UNRWA director and ABC commentator F.H. LaGuardia over your favorite ABC station. Walter Kiernan, with his personal and individual comments of a day's news, will be heard tomorrow at the same time from Kiernan's Corner. A bright spot in our New York newsroom. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.